scripture, and it says this: God's church does not donate to missions, it does missions. Now, it's not to say that we do not give financially to missions, but it's saying that the Church of God's purpose in missions and role in missions is not to be a financial supporter or a financial backer to missions only. If that's all that we ever are, then we've missed the purpose that we have as a church, what God has called us to do. So let's look at that again. God's church does not, and I should have said, does not merely donate to missions. It does missions. Ian, if you start to think of the word missions meaning only going off to a foreign land to do something or going off to an area of our country that's been devastated by something, if that's your definition of missions, you will really not understand this statement that's being made here. Missions is us taking the gospel of Jesus Christ into all parts of the world. And that has to begin where we are. Foreign missions is when we take the gospel to a foreign country. And we would consider local missions when we take that gospel and we share the love of God in a local area. And so whether it's local or whether it's foreign, missions is the same. It's a Christian living out their, his or her purpose wherever they are. And our purpose is to, one, glorify God. It is to love God. And to glorify God, and to share God with other people. And so when we really think about missions, missions is what we do. Sometimes we may not think of our church being a mission church, but it must be a missions church. And so let's walk through a few different things. I want to give to you, speaking first of all, about where our church is. And missions should begin where we live. We are all agreed on that this morning, right? Missions begins with where we live. We're not doing church right. We're not really living up to our purpose in God's plan if we don't start missions here where we live. And that's not donating to some other place. It's living it from this place right here. Each of us working from this place outward, working from our own homes, our own lives, outward into the communities and places which we live. And so I'm going to kind of start with this one for you. It's the population of Danville, Virginia. Anyone know why I picked the population of Danville, Virginia? It's where we live. This is it, right? If missions is going to begin where we live, then we have to look at where we live. So the statistics on this, the population of Danville, says Danville, Virginia's estimated population is 40,000. 693, according to the most recent United States Census estimates. Danville, Virginia is the 17th largest city in Virginia based on the official 2017 estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. The population density is 951.64 people per mile. The overall median age is 40.6. That was interesting to me. You learned that one. 37.5 years for males and 44.2 years for females. There's more older females than males. For every 100 females, there are how many males? 84.4. So, Philip, you're outnumbered. Just give up. You're outnumbered. But yeah, there's more choices out there. Based on data from the American Community Survey in 2017, there were 22,206 households in the city with an average size of 2.18 people per household. The homeowner vacancy rate was 2.9% with a median rent of $628 a month. The median household has 5.3 rooms and has a value of $90,900. Just giving some basic facts about the city in which we live. Median income for households in Danville, Virginia is $34,951, while the mean household income is $49,940. According to the most recent ACS, the racial composition of Danville was, and it goes through each of those, and for sake of time, we don't have time to break all of this down for us. But outside of Danville, Virginia, there's a county, and it's a county in which we live as well called Pennsylvania County. And so that's actually where our church would be located. And Pennsylvania County has estimated a population of 61,341 with a growth rate of -0.60% in the past year, according to the most recent United States Census. And so looking at these two areas, Danville, Pennsylvania County, can anyone give me a rough estimate of how many people live in our city and county together? Very good. Thank you very much from our school teacher. 100,000 people. Everyone else is still trying to do math or just decided, my brain's not going to kick in gear. I'm just going to let someone tell us the answer, right? And so about 100,000 people living between Danville and Pennsylvania County. Those 100,000 people are that's a number right here. But those are the people which are the focus of our mission and our ministry. Maybe if you ever thought about it, the 100,000 people that live in Danville and Pennsylvania County, they are the focus of Shining Light Baptist Church mission and ministry. These are the people that we are first called to reach. The ones that live among us, that live around us, that interact. Some of these people, well, your number is in there. Your family's number is in there. Your relatives are in there. And these are the people to whom God has placed us here into this community to reach. And so if you just think about that today, we realize that we're in partnership with many churches throughout to reach our own community, to reach Danville and Pennsylvania County. But there's 100,000 people whose soul and their destination we become in some way responsible for. Because God has placed us in this place and missions begins with where we are, then God has put us in a place where we begin to recognize we are responsible for the people around us. We was here this past Wednesday, and I believe it's posted now. If you was not able to be here Wednesday, you should go on and listen to or watch the message from this past Wednesday where we talk about being fruitful and that it's a requirement of God. It's not okay not to be fruitful. Fruitful means this, that we do something with the gospel that God's given to us. We are Christians. I asked this morning just randomly, now I did have an idea of who wasn't going to pass out if I asked them a question and they was going to speak publicly. I don't think there's anyone that I would ask in here to answer those questions that would give us a really, wrong answer. But I want you to know today that we as Christians are responsible for the people around us. We know the answer. We have decided that there's 100,000 people living in our community between Danville and Pennsylvania County. We have help through other Christians. But when we stand before God, 100,000 people that live right now will also stand before God. And they will stand accountable for their relationship with God, saved or unsaved. But we also have a connection to them. And we are not responsible for whether or not they become Christians. We are responsible for whether or not we give them the opportunity to become Christians. And how do we do that? In the weeks ahead and stuff, we'll begin to talk more specifically about how to share the gospel and different things. But I want us to look at something today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And so that's a location. There's a church there. There's a body of believers. And Paul writes to them. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." That's language we don't use today, so let me just kind of break that down a little bit. Paul says, "I want to talk to you about how good and dedicated, how involved the church of Macedonia has been. I want to talk to you about their example, what they have said." So he's talking to the church at where? Corinth. And he wants to talk to them about, he wants to give them example of a body of believers from Thessalonica or the area of Macedonia. All right, so are we're all together so far on that? He's addressing this church in a letter. And he's going to use another church as an example. And he wants them to be inspired by that church, to be motivated by that church, to do what? To follow the example of that other church. And here's something that he says to them. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That's a tongue twister almost if you kind of think about it, but here's what he's saying. First of all, what is a great trial of affliction? What comes to mind if you think of that? There's a church. He wants to talk to this church about this church, and he says they have a great trial of affliction. What?
Persecution.
There's some kind of suffering. Somebody is suffering something. You know, I've tried to say all the time, don't tell people to get saved so that their life will get easy. Saved so that your eternity is secure. But life on earth may not smooth out. But there may be suffering. And he says, there's a church over here and they have a great trial of affliction. In other words, there's a lot of suffering that they went through. But the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Does anyone understand the word poverty? It's not you, by the way. We all think we're in poverty, don't we? I'm living poverty. No, that's not you. Go to some places we've been in other parts of the world. You'll find out what that means. We live in luxury. And so here he says they have poverty. And he says that it abounded. Now they're joyful in their poverty. They're joyful in their affliction. They haven't lost their mind. They're not excited about it. But he says there's something inside them. There's a peace. We've all read stories or seen things on the news where someone that's accomplished great success and great wealth has committed suicide. It wasn't the things around them, it wasn't their accomplishments that brought them joy and happiness. As a matter of fact, what leaves those people sometimes is that no matter what I have done, I've never attained that joy. Brother Dale said earlier in his explanation, he said that there's always going to be an emptiness. If you're unsaved, there's always an emptiness inside, and you'll try to fill it with other things, but it can only be filled with that relationship with Jesus Christ. What's ended a lot of people's lives who sought for joy through pleasure that was talked about earlier with Noah and stuff. He said it's not a good trade-off. There's things that we seek pleasure, joy from. It just continues to elude until we come to Jesus Christ. And Paul said these people don't have wealth. These people are suffering persecution, but they have a joy inside. They found contentment. They had found a purpose, their purpose in this life. And so he says, it abounded into the riches of their liberality. Liberality is not talking about a political statement here. It's talking about they gave. They were living with little, but they were generous to give. What are they giving to? For to their power I bear record. Yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Paul's making a statement. He wants to remember, he's talking to the church at Corinth. And he wants to get this church to be moving forward and following the example of this church in Macedonia. And he says, this church is suffering. They have less than you have. They're going through suffering that you haven't gone through. He says, but they have a joy inside. And here's why they have that joy inside. They give themselves to the work of God. They give themselves. And he says they did this not as... They went beyond what we figured their ability to give was. Notice Paul never mentions money right here because he does mention something. As first of all, they were willing of themselves, which means I didn't go there and compel them. I didn't give them a pitch. I didn't call on them to give. He says, when they understood a need, they desired to give. I have heard stories from just around the world. Some of the people that live in the greatest poverty are the most generous people that you ever meet. Talk to people literally that have been to homes where people had barely enough food to eat, but they would prepare what they had and give what should be going to them or their family to their guests. And they were happy and honored to do it. It was a joy for them. And it's really hard for the person who's sitting there who's full, who could afford to skip a meal or two, who could understand not doing that, to eat this food that needs to go to a hungry family. But that family wants you to have it because they want to share. Paul said that out of the abundance of their poverty, of their affliction, they gave, but it was willingly. We didn't compel, we asked. In verse number 4, Paul said, praying us with much entreaty, which means they're not praying a prayer now. He's saying they're begging of us to take this. That's what that word's referring to. Let me back up and get to you. He says, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. Much entreaty means they're compelling us, they're urging us, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. This gift here, it really does come. There's supplies. This church is in poverty. These people, they looked around, they said, we see a need somewhere else. They know their own needs, but they see it somewhere else and said, we want you to take to them this supply, what we have. Some of it may have been financial. It was probably more of goods, food, and other things. So we want you to take this to meet their needs. I want you to do that. This past week, I was in the church. I had to meet some people here for business that they were taking care of something for us, for our church, and they saw all the food. It was Wednesday, so they had all the backpack bags up out there. And the guy looked around and he said, y'all having a party later on or something? And I said, no, that's good. And I explained, you know, this is the backpack bags. He said, oh, I've heard of that. And I told him what it was. And I would tell him some of the stories that I shared with you about the children, about the teachers, about the people, that, you know, just the real results. And one of them looked at me and he said, how do I give to that? I didn't give him a sales pitch. I didn't tear up and try to emotionally manipulate. I wasn't selling them. I just explained to him what that was and where it was going. He said, how do I participate in that? And that's exactly what happened here with this church. Paul said, I want you to see this example of this group here who understood about a need somewhere else, and they said, how do we become a part of that? You see, when we give of ourselves to God first, we don't have to be asked to give. We don't have to be reminded about tithing and missions and programs. We're looking from our heart and saying, how do I become a part of helping? How do I become a solution to that problem? How are we involved in that? Love to see each of us come to the place where we were so heavily burdened for some place, for some people, for some problem that we just got ourselves involved in and got others to be involved in as we shared it. Pray with us that we would take on the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did. Not as we hope. What Paul's saying, we kind of read that and you think, they disappointed. They didn't reach our expectation. That's not what he's saying. He said, we didn't have an expectation of them helping. But they wanted to help. So when he's saying, this they did, not as we had hoped or not as we had expected, not as we had even thought, but first gave what? Isaac, it's good. That's good. Let's do it together. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What Paul's saying to this church here, he says, I want you to see this example of these Christians over here and what they've done and what they've accomplished. And it wasn't because of their wealth, because they didn't have it. It wasn't because of their privileged status, because they're under affliction. He says they gave something and it wasn't what we expected. We didn't expect anything out of them because of their own situation. But the reason that they have abounded and what reason their giving has made so much of a difference in the world is because they gave themselves first. They gave themselves. They gave themselves first. They did not give their money first. They gave what first? Themselves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave them great riches. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave of himself. The example of Christians is that we have before us the example of others who gave themselves first. This church of Macedonia had made a difference in the world, not because of what they had, not because of their size, not because of their privileged status. None of that they had. What they did have was themselves, and they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Sometimes I've heard people talk about getting more of God. There is no possible way to get more of God. And sometimes people think, well, if I just did this, I'd have more of God. What does that even mean? What was in our mind oftentimes is by getting more of God, we're thinking, now I'll have the ability to pray, I'll have more of God to answer those prayers. As if God just kind of puts a, you know, there's a 1% Christian, he's only got 1% of God, and there's a 10% Christian, he's got 10% of God. There's a Christian that does, you know, really good. They're faith, pretty faithful in church, and they're a 50% Christian. They have about 50% of God, so, you know, they have about 50% power. That's not biblical at all. Paul says we have all of God. We have access to all of things about God. Why then is it that we don't seem to have? I need to get more of God to be able to. No, it's not how much of God we have. It's how much of us God has. The only difference in Christians is not how much of God a person has, because God gave himself to us. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, comes and lives in us. He doesn't send a pinky finger to live in us. He comes and he lives in us. The difference is how much of us is God. They gave themselves to God first. They just said, God, here. You know, there was part of me you didn't have. Now you do. God, you got it all. And it makes a difference. Our mission, vision, statement, Shine Light Baptist Church, is that we exist to be voices for God's word and hands for God's work. That will always only be a motto until it's in practice by each of us. It's only a goal to hope for until we are giving God all of ourselves first. And we become voices for God's word. To the 100,000 people that live in Danville, Pennsylvania County, we must be voices for God's word. And for that 100,000 people that live in Danville, Pennsylvania County, we must be hands for his work. We do this work and we share this voice with God. Now, I want to show you something else. In 1 Thessalonians, we're going to read this first chapter. Paul said, I want to talk to you about the church of Macedonia. And Macedonia is a region, and inside that region is Thessalonica. So when Paul was talking to the church of Corinth in our last place of Scripture, and he said, I want to get this church to see the example of this church over here. This is the church that gave of themselves. This is the church he's talking to. So now Paul's writing a letter to that church, the church that gave of themselves first. And notice, I want to say something else. They gave of themselves to the Lord first. And I got to back up because I got ahead of myself. They gave of themselves to the Lord first. And then Paul said it unto us. Which means that they saw the work that we were doing, that we were pouring ourselves into, and they let us lead them. The only way that this church really becomes successful in obedience to God's word, to be a church that's voices for God's word, hands for God's word, for us to stand before God and have accomplished what he put us here to reach the 100,000 people in Danville, Pennsylvania County, is to first give ourselves to the Lord and follow the leadership that he's given to us. Follow that leadership. I'm a part of that. Follow behind. Say, God, here's the leader you've given to us. I want to hear his voice. I want to hear the message that he shares, and then I want to respond to it. I want to respond. Now Paul's writing to this church who has given themselves to the Lord and given themselves to the leadership. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, always, all, making mention of you in our prayers. So Paul is just thanking this church. He said, I want you to know that I thank God for you, that I pray for you. I'm excited about you. Why is he excited about them? Because they have exceeded any expectation. He didn't even have an expectation. And they exceeded anything he would have thought for them. Why? Because they gave of themselves first to the Lord and then unto them as they lived. And they made a difference. What kind of difference? He's even trying to tell this church in Corinth about it. He says in verse number 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Let me rephrase what he said right there. He said, I remember without ceasing your fact that you were voices for God's word and hands for God's work. Your work of faith. What you were accomplishing in your area. What you was doing in the place where you were living. How you was reaching the people around you. You were voices for God's word. And you were hands for God's word. In other words, you were doing something where you lived. And after that, you began to even expand out beyond those borders. So he said, your labor of love, patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Notice what he said. Our message, our gospel didn't come in word only. What does it mean by word only? Don't answer it. I'll kind of guide you through it. He said, our message did not come to you in word only, meaning that you just listened to it. You saw the effect of that. We didn't just come and say some things and not live it ourselves. You saw us come and live out what we were saying. This gospel message, this change of life, this love for God. You saw our love for God. You didn't just hear us talk about our love for God. You saw our love for people. You didn't just hear us talk about our love for people. So Paul, when he says that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, it means effectiveness. It accomplished something. It was lived out. And the Holy Ghost and much assurance. We'll go to verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Followers of us and of the Lord. Paul said, you saw us love people. And you followed that example. Because you saw us love God. And you followed that example. When a church is going to be successful, it's going to be successful because it has somebody. Somebody in that church loves people and loves God. And others start to follow that example. To love people and love God. And when you love people, you don't just sit back at a distance and say, oh, I love people. I said that before. It's easy for anyone to stand in a church and say, I love every one of y'all. It's proven when we get up and say, you know what, I love you so much, I'm not going to let a disagreement come between us. I'm not going to let a problem come between us. I'm not going to let something else come in between us. I love you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to work this out. It's easy to say I love everybody and never pray for them. It's easy to say I love people and never show up when they have a lost loved one in their life or they have a funeral or something in their life. When they're hurting. When they're caring. But Paul said, you didn't just hear us in word. You saw it lived out and you become followers of us. Followers means you model what we were doing. Model what we were doing. The ministry of this church, this church that Paul's talking to, the ones who were leading it, looked like the ones that was following it. And the ones who were followers in it looked like the ones that was leading it. In other words, their actions, not their identity, not their dress, not their facial features, but their love, their activity, all looked together. Paul said here in this verse, he said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. They became Christians. Why? Because they saw these people that loved God. If we're going to reach the 100,000 people that live in Danville and Pennsylvania County, we can do that. If we're going to reach those 100,000 people, there are missionaries that go almost by themselves to reach over 250,000 people. I mean, that's their job. I mean, that's the goal before them. I'm not saying they're going to be able to talk to everyone. I'm saying that we have help in our area. For 100,000 people, we have over 100 some churches to help with that. But what takes place is people become Christians when they see you love God. And they see you love people. When they see the love of God coming through you to people, then they become people. Paul said, that's what's happened here. Having received the word in much affliction. Remember, that was a church that was suffering affliction. Why was they suffering? It was because of their faith. the faith they put in practice. And Paul said, you received that. You became a Christian, not because it was easy. You became a Christian and suffered for that. And knowing you had suffered, but you saw those who were suffering, and you saw that they loved God and loved people, and you saw that it was real and genuine. They had a joy inside, and they wasn't missing anything. And that's what we've seen by the videos we watched over the last several weeks, the little segments of things where churches were being persecuted, yet they were growing faster and faster and faster. They're outgrowing the churches. The number of people becoming Christians in those parts of the world that are suffering for it are outnumbering the growth rate of Christians in America. Because they have a joy inside. They see people love God and they start to follow them. And notice what he says. He says, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Notice verse number 7. So that we were examples to all. So that ye were examples to all that believe in where? And okay. Paul said to the church in Corinth when we started, this was the church of Corinth. He said to them, I want to tell you about a church over Macedonia. I want to tell you about the Christians over here. And now Paul says to the Christians over there, he's writing to them, and he says, you became an example unto all that believe in Macedonia. Macedonia is not a city, it's a region. He said, he didn't just reach the people that live right on the inner part of your border. He says, you become an example. People caught on to what you were doing. People fell in love with what you were doing. People become believers because of what you were doing throughout all of Macedonia. When I said there's 100,000 people for us to reach in Danville, Pennsylvania County, 100,000 people for us to share the love of God with them, the gospel of God with, that may sound like a big number, but here, this group of people said, Paul said, you just went, when you just did that, you just fell in love with God, and you started giving because you fell in love with God, and the finances were there, but beyond that, the work was there, the help was there, the prayer was there. He said, you become an example to people beyond your own region. And then he says now in verse number 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Paul says, this church that's limited by its affliction, its suffering, limited by its poverty, he said, I want you to know something. You, your message, your testimony, your faith has inspired others to become Christians everywhere throughout the world that is heard about. Everywhere. We're trying to inspire, we're trying to motivate, we're trying to encourage to let's reach Danville and Pennsylvania County. And Paul said, here's a place over here who had so many disadvantages that you never have to worry about. He said that their faith reached beyond. I mean, their example, their gospel, their message brought people to Christ throughout the regions of the world wherever it was heard. If we're going to be beyond just talking about missions, if we're going to have the missions that reaches Danville, Pennsylvania County, and beyond, it starts with us loving God, following the leadership, and working to love people together in our own community. And it begins to spread. It begins to be gone further and further throughout. Paul's talking to this church. It's just an amazing thing that they've done. And so he says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I want you to grasp that for just a moment. Because we sometimes think, well, you know, it's one thing to talk to Christians about Christians or people that grew up in church, and it's one thing for them to become Christians, but what about those people that are in another kind of religion altogether? Paul said, you are people that turn from idols unto God. You left an entirely different way of worship, an entirely different understanding of who God was, and you gave up an entire different God because you saw somebody that loved the true and living God, and you saw the love and the joy inside of them, and you left those things for something that was real. We can reach the people in our community. We can bring them to Christ. Not by telling them only that they need to get saved. That's not. It's by loving God ourselves. Loving each other. Loving them. Not in word only, but in action. To reach out. To go. To spend time with them. to show that we care. And that's when they see God. And that's when they see the emptiness inside them. And they see the answer. And Paul said, this has gone throughout all these things. You turn to God from idols. You wait for his Son from heaven. It means you have an expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. He says, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I asked you earlier to remember this part. God's church does not, and I said, I could have probably better stated it, God's church does not merely donate to missions, it does missions. You see, this church, Thessalonica, did give to the support and outreach needs all around them. But that's not how they started, and that's not what made them effective. They were effective because they were doing missions right where they lived. They were living out their purpose where they were. And that caused them to see needs that they wanted to be a part of. And their testimony began to spread more and more. And so my, I don't want to say challenge, it's not the best word that I want to use. My call to you today. To begin living the mission to be voices for God's word, hands for God's word, right here where we live. To determine it will not be a motto, it will be a lifestyle. To realize that there are 100,000 people in our city and county, and regardless of how many of them, there's a church for everybody, but there's a lot of those that are unsaved. A lot of them unreached for God. It's never our job to turn our nose up at them or look our eyes down at them. It is our job to love them. But we must first start right here in this building which we're in, this family right here, to love God above all other things. And that means faithfulness and commitment. Loving God means filling these pews with yourself first every single time that there's an opportunity to do that. Not because it makes us look good, because we love God, that we are part of the work that he's called us to do. I've shared from the very beginning of this year, even before that, from the very beginning of this year, I talked and I discussed and I challenged us on the idea that we are losing a commitment and a faithfulness, a dedication to the house of God, which means it's a reflection of our love for God. And I challenged us at the beginning of this year to do something intentional to change that. To purpose that the first Sunday of the first Wednesday of every month that we would commit ourselves to going out of our way to be a part of the church and to be and on that first or last Sunday, the last Sunday of every month, that we'll share communion and we'll go out of our way to be there to be that just to, as a starting point to being more committed, more faithful. In all honesty, throughout this year, because of sickness and travel and other things, we saw less attendance on those times that we've called for more. Lower than what our normal average would be. It's a reflection of our love for God. We cannot challenge ourselves to reach the world until we first challenge ourselves to reach our own selves and our own community, starting right here where we are. It's hypocrisy for us to try to consider ourselves a missions church by sending, supporting people throughout the world. It must begin right here in loving God. So I love God. Love is an action. Love is not a theory. Love is when we put ourselves not first, but God first. Love is when we put others first. Love God, love our church, love our community. We'll make a difference. This city, this town, there is no reason why anybody living in Danville, Pennsylvania County should not have multiple opportunities to be saved. There's also no reason they should not be under conviction because there should be many Christians loving and praying for those living in our area. There are more prayers being offered sometimes by churches for foreign countries than there are for their own communities in which they live. We want to make a change in that, beginning with us. We want to reach our own community, to love them, I'm asked to do something, ask my wife to close out our Facebook time. Right now, we're going to call upon you. Join me in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to thank you right now for your attentiveness throughout this message. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask you to do that so that there's easier for you to reflect personally. I know sometimes we just don't find the words to say. But I've asked recently, how have you personally been affected or changed by the messages that we've preached about missions? There wasn't really much of a response. And that just may be because, like I said, sometimes it's hard to find the words. But I want you to ask yourself right now, I want you to answer to yourself. For over a month, God has challenged me through His Word. For over a month, God has challenged me through the preaching to think differently about my involvement in the mission of God. How am I different? What do I do different? How am I dedicated? How is my commitment different than it was ago? I want to say this morning, if the answer is that there is no difference, and I'm talking about not just I understand it or I feel better about it, but what's different? What's lived out different? Is our commitment better? Our love that's being reflected different? If it's not, then we've gotten to a place where church is just a routine. A formality. If church is merely a formality, failure. We can't change the world until we change ourselves. Would you give yourself to God today? Can He have all of you? Can He have your heart, your treasure, and your time? Can He have your voice in your hands? Can God have you today? If you're here today, you don't really know what I'm talking about. Because there's a God that loves you, but you've never really come to love Him. You've heard about Him. You've heard about a place called hell. You've never really been to a place where you've become a Christian. You don't consider yourself an atheist, but you've never been baptized because there's never been a time in your life that you've publicly acknowledged that you're a Christian. Because there's never been a time in your life that you come to God and confess that you were a sinner. If that's you today, I want you to know something. God wants to save you from a place called hell. He loves you. We don't do this often, but I do want to ask you today. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, if you've never been saved, if you're not really even sure what that means, but you just know that you're not, but you are curious You want to know more? You want to learn more about it? You want to be prayed for? I'd like for you to do something. I'd like for you to just raise your hand so I can see it. There is no other people looking around. I'd like to know that you need prayer. Is there one anywhere? Just raise your hand. I'm not a Christian, but I want to know more. I want God to keep dealing with me about it. And I hope today that those of you here that are Christians, that you'll take today's message and say, God, I want to be different. Keep meaning to be more intentional, more committed. But I haven't been consistent with that. Would you just give God all of you today? And live that out the rest of your life, starting today. Make the determination to commit. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come today, I do want to thank you. Because there was a time in my life, at first, that I was not a Christian. You made me aware of that. You helped me to come to you and confess it. Lord, I know that I deserve healing. But I also know that you love me. I know that you're willing to forgive me and change that. You helped me come to that place, Lord, to ask for that forgiveness and receive you as my Savior. But you also told me, Lord, what it meant that as a Christian, you purchased me. And to fulfill my purpose in this world, I've got to give myself all over to you. Complete, holy. And I thank you for teaching me that. But God, you've also given me influence to talk to people. Influence with this church family that I'm standing before today. Influence because you taught me to love them. And care about what it's going to be like when they stand before you. Care about their family and know that sometimes they may be the only one that can reach them. Care that they need to be committed. Care, Lord, not about a job. Care about ministry. And I pray today that you'd raise us up, work in our hearts, and we'd be like the church of Macedonia. There in Thessalonica, gives ourselves to you and to the work of that local church to reach our own community. And then may we be able to reach successfully beyond our borders. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank God for listening today, and I pray that it does make all of the change and all the difference. Kurt's not feeling good today. Logan's not as well, but tomorrow is Kurt and Tammy's anniversary.